You may be seated. Acts chapter 11, verse 22, when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch, and he, when he arrived and saw the evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy and encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Well, you guys can sit down if you want. That's fine. Do you, No, not yet. You just stay here. Okay, perfect. Well, we're gonna enter our first time of conversation, our first time of discussion, our first time of sharing with each other what the Lord's been doing, and we're gonna do that. Hopefully, if you weren't here at the end of last service, we said, "Hey, be thinking about your 1-2-3s," and if you didn't. Weren't here for that. Maybe you got the midweek email that says, be thinking about your 1-2-3s. And if you don't know what your 1-2-3s are, then you're either new or you have missed our conversations about it for the last 10 months. But for those who are new or are not sure what we're talking about when we say our 1-2-3s, so our vision as a church is to walk with others as we walk with Christ. Okay, walking with others as we walk with Christ. And we say that that's as easy as 1-2-3. All right, one, daily connection with Christ, you know, at least. Two, weekly connections with other believers. And then three, monthly connections with sojourners, people who may or may not know Christ, just some form of connection. And these don't have to be like, you know, we're going to get on our knees and pray type conversations so much as just interactions. So we get to see a lot of this playing out. They probably didn't use this language in Acts. I mean, probably. We see the one kind of lived out early. In Acts chapter 2, verse 49 or 46, it says, they, being the believers, worshiped together at the temple each day. Okay, so there's their daily connection with Christ. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, which we're going to share a little bit later, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. All right, so there you get to see their one, their daily connection, which was more than just, you know, a quick little prayer. It was together. Now, there are two and three, actually, we see at the beginning of this week's texts, Acts chapter 11, verse 19 and 21. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word, but only to Jews or to other people who they would have claimed were at the time believing. So that's the twos. Now, however, some of those who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles. That's their three, about the Lord Jesus. And the power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. All right, so you kind of see the 1-2-3 in Acts so far. So what we're going to do around our tables is we're going to talk about our 1, 2, and 3. Now, here's the beautiful thing. There's no wrong answers, okay? No wrong. So whatever you're going to share, somebody else at the table is going to say, thank you so much, okay? Make sure somebody else at the table says that. Thanks for sharing, and if you really don't want to share, that's okay. We've got some sheets on the table that you can doodle, draw your answers, other people's answers, whatever you want to doodle or draw. All right, so I'll kind of guide us as we go through this. We're going to start around the table by talking about our daily connection with Christ. And what does that look like for you? Okay? And I'll guide us as we go through. So questions? No? Okay, ready, set, go. If, don't let me interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you. You go ahead and keep sharing the one if you haven't made it all the way around the table yet. But if you're sitting there looking for something next to share, the two is two weekly connections with other believers. So share a little bit about what that looked like for you this last week. Two weekly connections or stick with one and keep conversing. Go. We're going to go into our three. So the three is three interactions with one or two or three people who are non-believers over the course of a month. So, share that. Go. I always feel bad interrupting. I really do. Thank you guys for diving in head first. Please carry these conversations on, overlap through the service, at the end of the service, throughout. Part of the beauty of these things is you're either getting to know new people or you're getting to know the same people at a deeper level. So I want to pray, and then we are going to sing again. Lord God, thank you that you have given us as a church just something simple, like these one, two, threes. And I thank you that even though they're simple, we can look back and see how they have been things that your church has been doing from the very beginning. Lord, I thank you for those who are sharing around tables and for those who are texting in online their answers. We are just excited to see and hear what you're doing in each other's lives. Lord, may our worship and song continue to bring a smile to your face. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. You know, one of the beauties of technology today is that we've got people in the room who are sharing around tables, but we've also got people who are online watching and texting in. I've had a few people texting me some of their one, two, threes. Must have been a young person because it says, I listen to church songs every day. And then the two is my mom and dad. And then the three is all eight of my teachers. So it's pretty cool that someone's watching and texting in. So neat to know that we're part of a greater community than we see in here. So if you're watching online, continue texting in your answers. That is good. I read the first three verses of our text for today, which is Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through all of chapter 12. And I'm not going to read all of that text. I'd encourage you to do that later. But as you see it, as you read it, and as I was reading it this past week, I had to think, I bet they would sit around and say, wow, have you seen what God is doing? Or did you hear this? Man, we got to give glory to God. Or did you hear this? We've got to pray for that. For example, in this short passage, there's many people coming to know the Lord. In chapter 11, verse 24, there was a person named Agabus who predicted a famine, and a collection was taken, and help was sent out. Those are things that like people would say, "Wow, God's doing some fantastic, fun things that we can be a part of." Now, also in this text, the apostle John's brother Peter, John's brother James, there we go, was killed. I didn't want to say it because it's my name. Killed by King Herod Agrippa. And then Peter was arrested in this passage. So you got to think the believers were sitting around like, what's God doing? What's he up to? We need to pray. And then we get this fantastic, miraculous, only God could have done it type escape from Peter. In fact, so much so that he didn't even know what was going on. Chapter 12, verse 9 says, so Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time, he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first guard, the second guard, and then came to the iron gate, and the gate opened all by itself, right? They passed through, started walking down the street, and an angel suddenly left them, and Peter came to his senses and says, oh, this is really happening. So he goes to the house where he knows the believers would be meeting, and he knocks on the door, and someone comes to the door and hears Peter's voice and gets so excited, she runs back in and doesn't even open the door, and so, you know, I mean, the story, they've got to sit around and say, what is God doing? Or I saw God moving and working here and there. At the end of our section, it says, meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread, and there were many new believers. What I want to do for this next time of conversation around your table is if, you know, a few of you have had a time in the last week, months, couple months where you've seen God moving, where you've seen some answer to prayer, you're like, wow, I should share about this, then go ahead and share about that around your table. So where have you seen God moving and working? Where have you seen him changing, challenging, encouraging? And then there's going to be at least two, maybe a couple more people who will share theirs from the mic after you guys share for a little bit around your tables. Sounds good? All right, ready, set, go. All right, I'm going to... Boy, this is the one I didn't want to cut people off on either, because it's just fun to be able to listen to stories of how and where God is moving and working. And, you know, not in some over-Christianese type of way, you know, with a call and response, but in a, man, that's cool. Like, I got a text from this person who's online. I don't even know the phone number, so don't text me and tell me who you are. Don't. But this person said, my mom's mom was about to die, but God saved her. My mom's grandmother. This child kid, youth, whatever it is, recognize God's hand moving and working in the situation. So that's cool. I was talking with Tommy the other day. Tommy, are you still willing to share? Do you mind coming up here? She was sharing something that happened, and I said, oh, on the 29th, we're going to be doing this thing. Can you share? And I think I said that to somebody else, but I can't remember who. So, Cher, you want me up here with you?
Sure.
Okay.
One, two, three, or?
No, I want what you told me about the whole, the bus stop thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to talk like it's an ice cream cone, because otherwise they can't hear you.
Awesome. Okay, so, I have lots of time in the morning. I know that sounds crazy, but my kid gets picked up at 7:10 now. Used to be 7:20. Well, 10 minutes really messes me up. And then I go to crossing. I do crossing guard at Finch Elementary at 8 o'clock. So rather than go home, because if I go home, I'll get distracted and I'll be late and it's a whole thing. And so I usually just stay in my car. Either I sit at the bus stop or I sit in front of my house even. I don't even go in. I just sit in front of my house. Or I go to the crossing and sit there. And usually I listen to, like, books on tape, or I'm doing a Bible study now, so I sit there and listen to that and things. So McKay's bus, because now it's 10 minutes earlier, we're late a lot. And the other bus stop is, like, we live by Les Schwab. Bus stop is at Glover, and then the other stop is over on Northwest Boulevard. So I'm like, McKay, I know we can make it to the second stop. Let's just go there. So we head that way, and it's in the middle of a neighborhood, don't really know anyone or anything, and we were parked there, and this young mom who is pushing a stroller with two kids, and she walks by my car, and she's like, oh, WSU, I love all your WSU stuff, and I was like, oh, thanks, rolled my window down, talked for a minute, and then she went off. He got picked up. I decided to go down Northwest Boulevard. So I go that way, and I see her walking. Now she's by herself, no stroller. And I was like, huh. So I pull over to the next, like, driveway, and I was like, do you want to ride somewhere? And she looks at me. She's like, what? And she's like, I'm confused. Like, normally people aren't nice. And I was like, it's okay. I know it's weird. I have lots of time in the morning, and I saw you, and I thought maybe you might need a ride somewhere. And she's like, well, I'm just going to SFCC. And I was like, yeah, no problem. I got plenty of time. I can do it. She's like, all right. So she gets in, and she's like, yeah, I don't trust people. Like, everyone I know around me isn't nice, and they use me, and I just stopped trusting people. And I was like, no strings attached. I really am just have time and thought you could use a ride. And she's like, okay. So we talk about our kids. We talk about my kids. We talk about life in this two-minute drive. Like, it's not even long. And when we pulled up, she's like, yeah, I'm starting a new job today. And I was like, oh. And I was like, do you mind if I pray with you over your new job? And she's like, yeah, I would actually love that. And so I did. I prayed for her and her new job and how it would be a blessing to her family and all those things. So it was just really nice to be able to communicate with her and just be that, like, I didn't push it or anything. I even, like, grabbed her arm while I prayed over her, and she slid my hand into her hand, and we prayed together. So it was just really eye-opening and nice.
I love that.
Can I tell my Lee Strobel quote? I looked it up.
Please tell your Lee Strobel quote, because you have a mic.
Yeah, you gave me power. Now I'm going to use it. Okay. So,
while she's looking for that, is the other person in here who I said you want to share that on the 29th here?
No, they ran.
Okay. You want to? All right.
Okay. So a couple weeks ago, we're doing the Lee Strobel Bible study. It's great. I'm learning new things, which is big for me. And then last couple weeks, he was at Be Bold for Jesus. So McKay and I had got tickets New Year's Eve on sale, and so we just wanted to see Jeff Foxworthy. But we went to the whole thing, and we went to Lee Strobel, and one of his things was, if God answered your prayers, would anyone new be in the kingdom? Are you praying for others? Are you praying for your neighbors to come to our kingdom? And that really hit me, especially with what we are trying to do with the 1, 2, 3. So.
Wow. Read that quote one more time.
If God answered your prayers, would anyone new be in the kingdom?
Wow. That's why I don't have to preach today. It's one of the few times like I'm serious. Well done. All right, let's give Tommy a round of applause. It's so good. Tommy's living out her 1, 2, 3, and we're seeing where God is moving and working. Aaron, come on up. Where have you seen God moving and working? And then I'll tell a story, and we'll head into a time of offering and keep going.
Well, for me, some of you know my situation. God's been working in my life, in Brooklyn's life. She's with a strong family now, just waiting on some housing. But just through prayer and the people here through church, knowing God has been a good thing, because for a while there, some of you know that I wasn't coming to church, and I stopped praying to him and talking to him. My life was pretty not that great, but now that I'm clean and sober, going through treatment, he's just opened up quite a bit of doors. When I had my last relapse 81 days ago, I got into a Pura Vida house, which is a clean, sober house, which the whole owners, the people that run it are Christian, and do a Bible study down there on Wednesdays. Revive counseling that I go through has been very blessing to get me in there. And the Spokane Falls Recovery Center that I go to, between him and his wife, they have 13 and 12 years sober, and I'm not sure how long ago they started Spokane Falls Recovery, but every now and then when I'm in there for my class, they pull me aside and we sit and just talk about God and what he's been doing in our lives. So I just wanted to share that, and I thank everybody that's been praying for Brooklyn and I, and God is amazing.
I don't know if you caught that, 81 days clean and sober. Aaron, I'm proud of you. Proud of you. God is moving and working. From 2017 till the beginning of this year, the church's vision was, let's be church for our neighbors. And we were praying for that. And, you know, sometimes we'd see some conversations happen. Sometimes we wouldn't. And then we'd kind of transition to this new vision. And a few weeks back, after church had happened, our neighbor across the street, who I've interacted with in the last 17 years, maybe 5 times total, he comes in, and Merle happened to see him. Merle brought him up to me, and he just kind of looked a little disheveled and out of sorts. And I say, hey, what's going on? I won't use his name because we're online, but his daughter had passed away, and she was 33. And he said, we don't quite know what to do. Can you guys like be a place we can hold a service? Yeah. Do you need to ask anybody? Nope. We will host your service. We would love to. We'd be honored to do that. Well, that turned into a conversation about 10 days later with this guy, his wife, and cousin, who also has brain surgery or a brain tumor, but is an ordained pastor. So it led from, yes, let us host. What can we do? To, they didn't really know how to plan a service. So I helped them plan a service and then helped them carry out a service. And it was beautiful, but the best part about it was, many of you know we have a food pantry. Frank and Jan, they had a friend. Jan kind of got it commissioned. We've been using it for a lot of years. It was inside and minimal use, and then we moved it outside, and we would fill it up in the morning, and all the stuff would be gone at night, and it was fantastic. It was being utilized. Unfortunately, we had to bring it back inside because we were getting trash and broken bottles and everything. But with this family, who, again, I've talked to the gentleman 5 different times, they said, the wife said, can I tell you a story? So their daughter's name is Camber. She had been on oxygen for 6 years, dialysis, had a rough go of it. But she had also lived on the streets for a while when she was younger. So she knew what people who would take stuff from a food pantry like that would need. Well, I didn't know it, but she took it upon herself to make sure there was always stuff in there, and always stuff that could be used. Like when I saw toothbrushes starting showing up, and toothpaste, and deodorant, I'm like, somebody knows what they're doing. And I had no idea. Now, there were times she couldn't walk very far. Her mom told me there were times that she would take her oxygen off when mom wasn't in the room, sneak across the road to put stuff in here, and then because she had such bad lungs, couldn't make it back. So she'd call her mom to come and get her, right? So what we're gonna actually name that food pantry Camber's Corner in honor of Camber. I had a chance to ask the parents if they would like that. They were floored by it. But God's moving and working in our church. We may not always see it. We may not always get stories like that. But the times we do, these stories need to be told. So that's a big part of why we're doing this morning. Hearing about 81 days sober. Hearing about, you know, some of you don't know, giving a ride to and then being able to pray with them. Hearing about a young lady who, was being church to us, even though we didn't even know. So it's fantastic. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward, I think. So the ushers are going to stand up wherever they're at. Worship team is going to just kind of play quietly in the background. They're going to pass these plates around. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you've given us a lot. And we recognize that you've given us so much more than we need.